2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. After coming ashore along Florida's Gulf Coast this morning as a Category 1 hurricane, Tropical Storm Debbie is now about 50 miles east of Valdosta, Georgia, with maximum sustained winds of 45 miles per hour. 4 deaths in Florida and 1 in Georgia are blamed on the storm, as well as widespread power outages. CBS's Tom Hansen reports from Chiefland, Florida.
Much of the town is barricaded off so crews can clear the roads to allow residents back in. Those who stayed will be sitting in the dark without electricity. Governor Ron DeSantis said the state is mobilizing 3,500 National Guardsmen.
The Florida Division of Emergency Management has completed 435 storm-related missions.
Debbie's next stop is Georgia.
Tropical Storm Debbie is predicted to dump record amounts of rain across the southeast this week. Michelle Owens is interim city manager of Tybee Island, Georgia.
We are prepared to be without electricity. We are an island with one road in and one road off, so we are also prepared to be isolated.
CBS News sources say that presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris is expected to announce her running mate tomorrow morning. More from CBS's Nancy Cordes.
What we continue to be told is that Vice President Harris still has not made her choice. There will be an announcement, then there will be a video released introducing the country to this pick, whoever it is, and then she's appearing side by side with this individual at a rally in Philadelphia.
According to a senior U.S. military official and a separate Defense Department official, 2 rockets were fired from a modified box truck at Al Asad Air Base in Iraq. Several service members were injured, but no critical injuries have been reported at this time. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. is engaged in intense diplomacy to ease tensions in the Middle East. More from CBS's Deborah Patta in Jerusalem.
Following Ismail Haniyeh's assassination, Tehran says Israel must be punished for what it calls its cowardly attack on Iranian soil. Both Israel and Iran say they don't want this to escalate, but nobody wants to be the first to take a step back.
There was a sharp drop on Wall Street today after a global sell-off in Friday's weak jobs report. Stock market analyst Gene Baroni says the U.S. sell-off was driven by fear and uncertainty.
I think I could make a case that while there are some legitimate reasons for the uncertainties and the fears, it probably was overdone in the session.
In early trading, Tokyo stocks have surged nearly 10% after a record fall after slumping by over 12% yesterday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Much of Wisconsin is preparing for flooding. More than 3 inches of rain could fall overnight tonight and into tomorrow morning in some parts of the state. A flood watch is in effect for an area stretching from Portage and Columbus southeast to the Milwaukee area. The fate of billions of dollars from Washington to Wisconsin is at stake as voters decide whether to amend the state constitution August 13th. Jason Stein is president of the Wisconsin Policy Forum.
It touches every aspect of our lives, from our roads to our social services to education. And this would have far-reaching and far-lasting effects.
Stein spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront. A no vote would keep the power over spending federal money in Wisconsin with the governor. A yes vote would give that power to the legislature. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Brewers lose in Washington. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Nationals jumped out to a 4-0 lead. Milwaukee scored 3 in the 8th, and that was it. The Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3 on Sunday. Manager Pat Murphy questioned on whether he pulled starter Tobias Myers too soon after just 64 pitches, replaced by Holby Milner, who gave up 3 runs.
I thought we pitched okay. Tobias was not his best, but he was good. and we had a full bullpen. And Hobie's been unbelievable for us, and he had some unfortunate luck. I thought everybody else pitched really well.
NFL, the Packers have signed another place kicker. Jonathan Garibay played in the UFL last season, only missing one kick. 2 years ago, he kicked a game-winning field goal for the Dallas Cowboys from 62 yards away. The Badgers held a live tackling session in camp over the weekend.
You guys have to be able to see if they can make some plays. So we challenged ourselves today a little bit going live. But, I mean, there's probably 75 snaps of live ball today.
As Badgers head coach Luke Fickell, practices continue this week at the UW-Platteville campus. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. Rain diminishing overnight. Mostly cloudy and a low close to 60. Early clouds to start off tomorrow, then some sunshine for the afternoon and pleasant. Highs in the mid-70s.
Right now it's 58.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Christina Laurie has some stories about Wisconsin athletes competing in Paris. And Sherita Booker reviews last week's popular social media posts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Well, Wendy and I are grandparents officially. We can kind of talk about it. The our daughter said we can talk about it now. So, congratulations. More relatives, Haley. Ho-wa.
And the cutest ones, too, I have to say. Congrats, Jelaine and Micah, on your beautiful twins, a daughter and a son. So exciting. And we're just also so grateful and happy for you.
Well, Wendy always said to the girls, the twins, our daughters, that they look like you, but they're cute. And I believe the grandchildren look like them and they're cute. So I think I kind of look a little like them. We've got dark hair and one of them has a cleft chin like I do.
Oh, so cute. Yeah. The dark hair, lots of it, too. That runs in the family. Yeah, that's really exciting.
Right.
So that is our exciting news to start out the show with. Unfortunately, something, you know, not so good happened this weekend at a powwow that we should probably touch on. This is a really heartbreaking story. Tom Thunderhawk began his spirit journey yesterday on Sunday due to a shooting he fell victim to on Friday in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, while attending the Ogallala Lakota Nation powwow. You know, these gun violence and killings of any sorts should never happen, let alone happen in a place of ceremony and healing. So our deepest condolences to the family, friends of Tom's, and others in attendance that evening.
Yeah, I agree. Just want to send out comfort prayers, and we're thinking of you and you and your family. And, you know, it's a sad thing.
Hey, we got Dr. Stately on.
Hey, I know that guy. Hey, welcome, Dr. Stately. Welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Thank you. How are you?
Great. We should introduce you officially. You are the CEO, right, of Native Community Clinic here in Minnesota, Minneapolis, the Twin Cities. You are executive director and president of Native American Community Clinic here, and we always love seeing you. The Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and Rodriguez, we were wondering where you were Monday, but we couldn't tell them, so we did the show without you. Ho-wa.
Hopefully you told them I was at Sundance.
No, I thought you were. I thought it was anonymous, so I didn't really want to say anything. I just said yes. We gave them the day off today.
Yeah, anonymous ceremony of life.
Yeah. So how are you? How are you doing? I know Haley just brought up some sad news nationally. Yeah. We all have our prayers out there for family and relatives.
Yeah, that is very sad news. And I mean, I don't know. Gosh, that is that's kind of shocking that would happen at a powwow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's tragic, very tragic.
Yeah.
Prayers for the family and the survivors of his loved ones. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
The community, of course. It's like the whole community has to be traumatized in that experience, I would imagine. So.
Yeah, I saw the live footage, and it was pretty stunning. And us being a powwow people, in a lot of sense, I'm not a dancer, but we like to go to powwows and support the dancers in the community. And yeah, it's a sad deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know a whole lot about the incident or the things surrounding it. I learned a little bit about it because I have. I think some relatives that were there are from the area. So
So checking in, how are things at the clinic? I know we have a few things to talk about. Saturday for one, Haley, I saw in your great notes you guys are offering some services Saturday, Haley.
Yeah, you guys, NAC, Native American Community Clinic, is going to start offering medical walk-ins on Saturdays. Could you talk a little bit more about that, Dr. Stately?
Yeah. So, I mean, we've not had our Saturday walk-in clinic for a while now. A lot of that was based primarily around capacity post-pandemic, right? So at first, we had to get back to full capacity. But yes, really excited and really honored to be able to state that we're going to open them back up Saturdays for walk-ins. That's important. It was like it has been something we did for many years up until probably, I think, I want to say probably 2021, maybe. Like, you know, when we started losing staff for 2022, we had to kind of like put that work off for a while until we kind of staffed back up. But finally able to do that, opening our doors. I believe the hours of are from, I don't remember what the flyer says, but I think it's basically noon, or I think 10, actually, now that I think about it, 10 to 2. So, and no, it's a walk-in clinic, so of course, no appointments necessary, just walk in on that morning. I think it's an opportunity for you to get, any acute care that you might need that day. A lot of families sometimes, and folks, especially during the year, we see this more frequently during the year when kids are in school, kids can't get out of school to see a provider for the typical thing, like a strep test maybe, or some other issue, or people can't leave work. So it's an opportunity for you to get something taken care of that you can't normally get taken care of during the week. So really excited to be able to offer that back to the community again.
Well, Dr. Stately, I want to kind of reverse back to what happens at Native American Community Clinic. I want our people all over Turtle Island that listen to this show know about the clinic. And the clinic, how many people do you serve, do you think, weekly or yearly? I mean, it's a really important entity here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I just want to let people like outstate that listen to us all over Turtle Island kind of get an overview of how great this clinic is for our community.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So the clinic is a federally qualified healthcare center. We're situated in South Minneapolis along what's called the American Indian Cultural Corridor. That space between sort of, I think, along Franklin Avenue, between 11th Avenue and Cedar. We're a couple blocks from the new, beautiful American Indian Center, right? And all the other organizations that sort of serve the Native community along Franklin Avenue in and around South Minneapolis as well. And we provide comprehensive medical care and health care, which includes primary medicine, primary medical care, everything from like, you know, vaccines and, you know, health assessments and your, you know, your kicking the tires to make sure everything's working okay, all the way to like, you know, chronic health care conditions, diabetes, heart issues, all kinds of things. We have a mental health clinic that provides outpatient mental health services, and also two outpatient substance abuse treatment programs, which includes a Suboxone dosing clinic. And then we have a very robust traditional healing program and a dental operation as well.
Wow. Well, we'll talk more, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about Sundance and what we can talk about here on Native Roots Radio, but how great that is for people to go there and people are interested. We're with Dr. Stately, and we'll be right back after this short break.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
You can't have too much pride, so don't miss one of the best rural pride events in the country at Fargo-Moorhead Pride, August 8th through the 11th. There are tons of activities, including a dance party, family fun night, a 5K fun run, block party, and a pride parade. In a little more than 3 hours, you can be in Fargo for 4 days of pride, including Pride in the Park, a trivia and karaoke event, and a youth pride all ages drag show. Folks visit from all over the three-state area and Canada. Visit fmpride.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, I do. Hey, and we're here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and just talking about some things there, some exciting stuff, reopenings almost, a lot of things still slowly coming back to normal from COVID, and some never will. So it's an interesting time we live in. Dr. Stately, we know you were at Sundance, and I don't know, me only being a helper at Sundance a few times, I know there's, it's a very sacred thing, but it's also a rejuvenating thing for the members that show up and are in deeply in prayer and Sundance.
Oh yeah. I went to, this is my first time being at the Sundance. It was in just outside of Rosebud. I was on the Rosebud Reservation actually in South Dakota. And I hadn't been there really ever. I think I was, I mean, I had been there as a child because I went to a boarding school in Chamberlain, South Dakota. And, you know, we would go to those reservation communities when I was a boy for basketball games and such. But it was my first time being at Rosebud as an adult. This is really beautiful. I had forgotten how gorgeous it was there. And the setting was really beautiful, and I went to support my three nephews who were sun dancing. My one nephew that was danced for the first time this year, my nephew Ruben, who also incidentally, by the way, just shout out to my nephew Ruben. He was given a provisional invitation to join the Minneapolis Fire Department. He has to pass some tests and such, but he graduated from EMT school and he passed the national test for EMT. And then he also is on his way to becoming a Minneapolis firefighter. So I'm pretty proud of him. But I could have never been more proud of him than when I saw him dancing at the Sundance. He, you know, the other thing that was just like, I had this moment when I was, you know, towards the end of the Sundance on Saturday, folks are piercing and you know, they're giving their flesh offerings and, you know, and the like, them kind of, you know, giving up their prayers and their offerings on that day. And it's a healing day as well. And I had this moment where I was like dancing along, you know, dancing in the arbor and supporting them by dancing alongside them or behind them while they're dancing and piercing and breaking from the tree. And I just, you know, none of my actual relatives were at the moment in time having, you know, doing their piercing or breaking from the tree, but my nephews anyway. And I had this moment where I was just like looking up at the tree and I was, you know, in a very prayerful moment myself and just being really grateful that I was able to be in that space and thinking about all of the things that I do in my personal life and my professional life and the work I do for my community and just all the suffering and the challenges and all of the scale of the work that we have to do in our community, and just laying out prayers for all of my relatives here that live in the Twin Cities where I work. And I just was overwhelmed by the beauty in the moment, and I just started to like, cry. I think that's the thing that you know, it was just really remarkable about the experience. You just feel so incredibly grateful to be in that space. Looking around and I was watching everybody, and you know, you have little tiny ones from like 6 or 7 years old in the circle, all the way up to like, you know, these amazingly, you know, elder grandmas and grandpas out there dancing, you know, in 100 degree heat, right? And right. And I was just thinking, oh my God, this is a good representation and a metaphor for like who we are as Indigenous people. We give of ourselves so that the people can live. We sacrifice our own blood, sweat, and tears so that other people can have health and well-being. We take care of one another in that whole entire space. Like it's a good representation of like exactly what we have to do as Indigenous people, or how we live and how we take care of ourselves and how we embody our values, our Indigenous values of being a good relative and taking care of one another and taking care of that Hojaka, that center. And it was just a really beautiful experience. I loved it. I was like, I can't wait to go back. You know, I mean, yeah. I'll wait till next year. You know, 1 week of being in the heat is a little bit much, but it was just an amazing experience, right? And it was really wonderful to support my nephews who were dancing, my four nephews. So, you're with family, and you know, you're eating good food. You know,
were the Henry brothers there?
The Henry brothers are there. The Henry boys.
Yeah, so proud of those guys.
They're so remarkable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and my friend Barry Hand really
Barry
helped.
Barry Hand was there.
Yeah. And he really helped lead these kids on as the youngins, and they've really taken off as singers, dancers, and in the community. I'm just so proud to know them.
Yeah, and then the last day I was there on Sunday, we stayed until Monday, and then we get to take a little bit of a tour of the tribal college there, which has been around for 53 years, I think, 53, 54 years, something like that. One of the first tribal colleges, and it was like just amazing. The community is beautiful. The people are lovely. My niece's partner's mother made us all breakfast before we hit the road, and so it was nice. It was a long day for me though, because I traveled up to Crow Creek, just a neighbor reservation on the other side of I-90, and went up there to see my son's grandmother and her and wow. their family, say hi to some people there, and then got home about midnight or so.
Powerful.
It was powerful. Lovely. So.
Well, we've missed you, and a lot's happened since, and rumor has it that you might be a vice president candidate here. Is Kamala?
That I might be. Well, I was on the short list, and I just, I politely said no, thank you. I have a thing I'm trying to accomplish here in the Twin Cities, but I know the American people need me, but I have community support. But thank you so much.
Well, how exciting is
that?
You
know who is on the short list is our governor, Minnesota governor. Tim Walz, which is really exciting, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what's really exciting about that, because I was talking with somebody about this. I was talking with my son about this the other day as I was driving him to see a movie with his girlfriend. And I said, hey, we're talking about, he brought up Kamala Harris being the presidential nominee. And he was like remarking about how amazing that was. And I said, yeah, what else is amazing? He said, there's a very good likelihood that she could pick Tim Walz, our governor, to be her running mate. And if they get in, if she picks him and they get elected, then you know what that means? And he goes, what? I said, that means our relative, Peggy Flanagan, or your tribal member, will ascend to the governor's position. I said, and that would be an amazing, amazing thing, because it would be the first time in history that a Native American female was in a governor position in the United States. And that, my son, I never thought I would ever see in my lifetime. So there's you're watching history unfold before your very eyes here, son. He's like, does that mean I don't have to go to history class? I'm like, no, that's not what that means.
Good answer. Good question. Wow. That reminds me.
You still have to go to history class. But, you're watching history unfold before your very eyes, because I would have never thought what is it like almost, I'm 62. So almost 54 or 44 years ago, I had the first opportunity, or 46 years ago, I had the first opportunity to vote. Right. I would have never, ever thought that, I would see an opportunity to see a female Black president.
Right.
Be at the helm of the United States. I said, you were just a brand new baby when President Barack Obama was elected. I remember dancing in the streets in Seattle when you were just a little tiny baby. I left you home with people while I danced in the street. But I said, I remember being a young man when Geraldine Ford was on the ticket.
That's right.
These are things that I never, ever, ever thought that I would see, because I just thought America, for as progressive as we think of ourselves, there have been female presidents and female leaders all around the world in developed countries for decades now. Like, it's high time we step into this space. And, and then I said, by the way, look around you. You can see what men have achieved. So give some women some chance. Here.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Good call. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks so much for stopping in. We've missed you, and we'll see you around on the avenue. And I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you come on our show. It's always great to see you.
Thank you. It's good to see you too. Have a good evening. Take care.
You too.
Be well, everyone. Bye.
Keep right going. On.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Brief. Debbie is downgraded to a tropical storm after making landfall in Florida and causing at least 5 deaths in Florida and Georgia. Near Savannah, Michelle Owens is interim city manager of Tybee Island.
We are expecting historic levels of flooding and rainfall. We're probably going to see flooding in all the usual areas, but also flooding in areas that may not necessarily have experience with that on Tybee.
Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris could announce her running mate choice as soon as tomorrow. CBS's Weijia Zhang says Harris has been talking to the finalists.
At the end of the day, this is her decision to make, and a lot of it will be following her instincts.
Defense officials say several U.S. personnel have been injured in a rocket attack at a military base in Iraq, none critical. It comes as tensions spike in the Middle East. CBS's Olivia Gazis has more.
We do not know where these rockets came from. We do not know the severity of the injuries, nor how numerous they are.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The lawyer for Devante Mitchell's family says an autopsy shows he died at the hands of 4 hotel employees in downtown Milwaukee June 30th. Mitchell was held down by 4 Hyatt employees after an incident at the hotel. Police recommend felony murder charges, but prosecutors said they were waiting for autopsy results before making a decision. Violent crime trends are going down in Milwaukee. The same is true nationwide. Advocates say the trends are encouraging, but the data is limited.
Homicide is influenced by a lot of local factors. In fact, we know that most violence can be isolated to specific neighborhoods within a city, so that it's essential for leaders to take time to analyze and fully understand local crime patterns.
Ernesto Lopez is with the Council on Criminal Justice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez divorce has been injected with some actual Hollywood-style drama. According to Suge Knight, illicit videos of Lopez were found when the FBI raided Sean Diddy Combs' properties a few months ago. The former Death Row CEO claims the FBI gave the videos to Affleck as a solid to prepare him in case the videos potentially went public. Knight is apparently basing this all on the timing of the issues between Affleck and Lopez. Combs has been accused of crimes ranging from sex trafficking to sexual assault. What are the effects of divorce? For a middle-aged man? For Ben Affleck, he sought counsel from his ex-wife Jennifer Garner, who eventually had to excuse herself from being her ex's therapist. Affleck is also rocking a faux hawk like Robert De Niro in Taxi Driver. This all comes as TMZ reports that Affleck and Lopez are not speaking to each other. In the meantime, Ben Affleck will presumably be on the lookout for a new girl named Jen while looking like Travis Bickle. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Showers and thunderstorms this evening with pockets of heavy rain. Rain diminishing overnight. Mostly cloudy and a low close to 60. Early clouds to start off tomorrow, then some sunshine for the afternoon and pleasant. Highs in the mid-70s. It's 60 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Let's go to Landfall Cunnamawag.
I met Kamala and she's super intelligent. She will select people who are competent in their field.
So Sandy, you don't hear those words when it comes to the other guy.
Well, he's going to select loyal people. Project 2025 seems to diminish the notion that there needs to be competence in government.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devils Advocates radio show. We'll introduce you to Josh Shapiro, Kamala Harris's VP pick, or Crudy will eat his crow. Tune in, Devils.
The Devils Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, Haley, we might have to change that bumper soon from Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.